Good morning on this beautiful Sunday morning. Good to have you with us for this morning's message. Today we are turning to the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 through 44, which recounts for us the story of Jesus standing in the temple and watching as people give generous gifts to the poor. And he also watches a poor widow who gives all she has. Today we had a special time of remembrance for our veterans in our service this morning, those who have given much to the service of our country, and some who gave their all, everything they had to give. They gave their lives. It is very fitting for us to remember what has been sacrificed for us as a nation. We say that they give their lives for our country, but far too many of us quickly forget that the country is us. There are men and women today in all branches of our armed services who may be asked at any time to give all they have to give, their lives. If you turn to the news, you just might hear a report that yet another soldier was killed in Afghanistan or in some other remote part of the world, while we stay here, safe and secure, in our comfortable lives. This is what the Veterans Day observance is all about, to call attention to those who have given much or even sacrificed everything so that the rest of us could enjoy the freedoms and the high standard of living that we enjoy as Americans. When is the last time that you sacrificed something for someone else? Now, I don't mean just giving away a little of your excess money or time, but really dug down deep and gave something that cost you. Have you ever given up something you truly valued, that you really did not want to let go of in order to help someone else who was in need? For many of us, our scripture today is a very familiar one. If we have been part of a church, attended church for most of our lives, and we've heard numerous sermons preached on this very passage. And while it may be very familiar to us, it is likely not a favorite for many folks. I do believe it is very fitting, though, that we read this story about Jesus' observations in the temple on a holiday that honors and commemorates sacrifice. The first thing we read in today's text is Jesus' warning to his disciples, "Beware of the scribes and the Pharisees." Jesus had a problem with the elite scribes of his day, men who like to strut around town in flowing robes with long tassels. We are told they enjoyed the places of honor at banquets, expected to sit in the best seats in the synagogues, and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces. They were quite happy with their own affluence and seemed to care little about the welfare of the poor members of their society. And Jesus condemns them by saying, "They devour widows' houses, and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely." Jesus accuses these men of praying not out of devotion to God, but only for show, so that they will receive the honor of men, and then also exploiting the poor in order to enrich themselves. He condemns the scribes and the Pharisees for turning away from their role as experts in the religious law and putting their energy into acquiring social status and wealth at the expense of the poor. Then we hear this very familiar story about Jesus standing in the temple and watching as many wealthy people are dropping large sums of money into the poor box, being sure that the people who are watching notice how much they are giving. As he watches, Jesus sees a poor widow slip up to the poor box, likely hardly noticed by most of the people there, but Jesus notices her. Then she makes her offering, dropping in the paltry amount of 2 copper coins. But Jesus, knowing the extent of her generosity and her willingness to sacrifice for those in need and those she believes have even less than she does, calls his disciples together so that he might teach them an important principle about giving. This widow has given more than all those others who contributed to the treasury, Jesus tells them. For they gave out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. What Jesus wants them to understand is that it's not the size of your gift that will impress God, but the sincerity of your commitment. It isn't about giving until it hurts. It's about giving out of joy and then getting to experience the satisfaction that comes to those who have learned how to be generous givers. In many ways, I believe that most Americans are closer to the scribes and the Pharisees and the other rich people of Jerusalem Jesus sees that day in the marketplace than any of us would like to admit. Like them, we see charitable giving as merely an option. Many of us do it out of a sense of obligation, and we do it out of our leftovers. When most people give, they give out of their abundance after they have bought everything else they desire for themselves. After they have paid their mortgages, their utilities, their car payments, their tuitions, their cell phone bills, their cable TV bills, their credit card bills, and all that other stuff we buy in the desire to obtain happiness. Oh, and some of them might actually put a few dollars aside for emergencies. Then, if they have any money left over after that, if they are sure there is nothing else they want to buy for themselves, then they might remember to give some of it to God. Sure, there are some who give large sums of money to our churches and other charitable organizations, but I would bet there are few who ever really truly sacrifice much just in order to give. I believe God wants us to see that there is a deeper agenda attached to the cash we drop into the offering plate. He wants us to see giving as a test of our spiritual health and our internal devotion to God and God's people. As one pastor said, if a congregation struggles to pay its bills and fund its ministries and outreach to the community where they exist, this is not the sign of a financial problem. It's the sign of a spiritual problem. And the issue for many church members today may not always be to make a bigger salary, but to better manage what God has already given them. We can do this by giving more of our time and energy to the church and its ministries, as well as our money. And certainly one way of being a responsible steward of all that God has given to us is by reducing our personal debt. In this way, we will not only make ourselves healthier financially, but so we will have more to give to God instead of to our creditors. Also, perhaps we just need to find more creative ways to give. It's like the story of the rich young ruler we looked at a few weeks back. What Jesus is trying to teach to his disciples is that an unhealthy attitude toward money and possessions had the potential to hinder our relationship to God and even damage our faith. What Jesus is asking for is not just a few more dollars, but a heart that is transformed. He is asking for an attitude adjustment when it comes to how we think about all of our stuff. God wants us, not just our money. One pastor put it this way: become the widow. Change your attitude toward your money, and it will change your heart. Change your heart, and it will change the way you spend your money. We need to visualize our incomes as a pie. How do we go about slicing it and serving it up? Scripture tells us that God is to receive the first fruits, or the first portion. That means if we follow Scripture faithfully, the first piece of pie we cut and serve up goes to God. Then we serve up the rest to all of the other places where it is needed. So let me ask, is this how you divide up your pie? Perhaps we should ask ourselves, who gave us the pie to begin with? In our Sunday service, we showed the video, God's Pie. And I would challenge you to go to YouTube and to view it for yourself. That video is not an easy one for many of us to watch. Also, let's think about how many good church people give to the church. Many people give to the church the same way they give to the local Salvation Army, clothes closet, or thrift store. They give away the stuff to the church that they no longer want or perhaps have an abundance of. If you doubt this, just go to your church and take a good look around. Go to the nursery. Ask someone who's been there for a while. Were the high chairs, toys, changing tables, and other furniture all purchased new for that department? Or was most of the stuff used and donated by people giving these things to the church because their children had outgrown them and they were going to get rid of them anyway? Many churches now have rooms that serve as parlors or sitting rooms with soft couches and recliners. Were these purchased new for the church? Or did they come from people donating their used furniture so that they could go out and buy new furniture for themselves? Go to most church kitchens and have a look around. Open up the cabinets and pull open the drawers. What you will usually find are old crockpots, toaster ovens, microwaves, and can openers that were already well used when they were given to the church. Most of the drawers are filled with cheap, dull knives, spatulas with melted handles, and many other utensils that were popular back in the 1950s and 60s. Now, I'm not saying that this is wrong. I'm just asking, what do you think this says about the way most people give to the church? Do they give their best to the church? Or just give it the things that they were planning to replace or get rid of anyway? Is there any evidence of a sacrifice? Or was it merely given out of their leftovers? Just imagine Jesus was watching as you drop your offering into the plate. What do you think he would say about you? What would he tell his disciples about you and the way that you give? Would his comments make you proud or a little ashamed? Well, let's get back to the scripture. The comparisons among the three characters of this passage are quite striking. The scribes, Pharisees, and rich givers look very impressive on the outside. They possess the cultural appearance of importance and standing, but their heart conditions show their true appearance to be a bit cheap, uncharitable, and wanting. In that light, the people Jesus was watching weren't much different from the Israel of Old Testament times. These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught. Isaiah 29, verse 13. A widow was a cultural outcast in the first century. Widows shared a marginalized standing with lepers, the poor, tax collectors, and prostitutes. Yet, with a heart devoted fully to God, this widow has a lot to teach us. This nameless, penniless woman, without a family, has become an historical metaphor for generosity, dependence, sacrifice, and being able to get one's priorities in the right order. As we set our own values, put our priority list in order, and make our lifestyle choices, we might remember God's words to Samuel. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. We may look quite acceptable to the people of our society, and we may even appear impressive to our Christian brothers and sisters, but our attitudes are the true reality. Our private motivations, what we feel, what we think but don't dare to speak out loud, these all trump any outward gestures that people may witness us doing. What is important to God is not the amount of money we give from out of our abundance, but the amount of faith and commitment we demonstrate by what we are willing to give to God. Remember, God doesn't just want our money. He wants us. And it is through our generous giving that we demonstrate the sincerity of our faith. so that we may be salt and light. Amen.